Well, thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're tuned in to Study, Grow, Know, and our fourth and final episode of Psalm 2, Puny Man Waging War Against God.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thanks for joining me. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, this is our fourth and final session on Psalm 2, Puny Man Waging War Against God. And you are tuned to Dr. Fred here at Study, Grow, Know. Now, we've gone over aspects of this psalm in previous messages. And again, you can read all of these articles at our blog, studygrowknowblog.com, and this and more of them. So you want to avail yourself of that. We're going to wrap it up with this one. And we're going to basically be looking at verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 2 to do so. Now, let me read those verses. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 2. Now we have arrived to the point in the psalm where God's incredible mercy is once again on display. Verse 10 opens with, as I just read, be wise now, therefore, O kings. God is offering a very direct, yet gentle and firm, it's firm, but it's gentle, warning about what the rulers of the earth need to do. God is telling these rulers to be wise. What does that mean? Well, it means, as my father would tell me during my growing up years, every once in a while, wise up. In other words, actually focus on the truth of the situation and take a position that is in line with that truth. Do the wise thing. Do the correct thing. And there's only one right thing. And as far as God is concerned in this instance, it is for these kings to realize who is sovereign and it is not them. Now, I just took a defensive driving course not that long ago, and it wasn't because I had to, but it was because I wanted to have save some money on my insurance costs each year, auto insurance. So my insurance company offers a fairly decent discount on auto insurance for individuals who take the course. It's strictly voluntary. So I thought, well, why not? It's always good to save money whenever I can. So I signed up. It was an online course, and it was, you know, it was one of those deals where I was kind of dreading it because I envisioned stale lectures, no interaction, except at the end where I would have to take and pass a test based on all that I had heard and seen, and hopefully I could pay attention to it. The fact that it would take me over 5 hours to complete over a number of days because I didn't do this all in one sitting, you know, didn't set too well with me either, but I forged ahead. And as I went through the course, I was actually delighted to see how well the course itself was structured. They used several different narrators, so you didn't get used to hearing the same voice and begin tuning that individual out. They also interviewed people and had very well done animated visuals that showcased a teaching point. Moreover, I was thrilled to learn that I was really doing quite a bit already that was considered to be good defensive driving technique. I learned also that there were things I could do better. During the course, I continually compared my driving skills and the things that I normally do with the way things were presented on the screen. I could hear my dad's words in the back of my mind, "Wise up," in several situations. And it meant that in the face of danger, I should employ the best wisdom to keep myself from being involved in an accident. Wisdom should be part of every situation in our lives, especially in those situations where potential danger lurks. I think most people would agree with that. Now, in verse 10, God is effectively telling rulers that they need to wise up. They need to use wisdom. From where does that wisdom come, though? Well, it comes from understanding the truth in any situation. If people understood and believed the truth about their need of a Savior, for instance, they would be more inclined to receive the salvation that comes only from Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. If people understood the truth about the fact that the more they use cell phones while driving, the more apt they are to cause or be involved in an accident which could take their life, they might do things differently. They might not text. God says to the rulers to be wise.
He says to the judges that they should be instructed. The truth here is that people too often fall for the many lies created and promoted by Satan. These lies are part of their very fabric of society, and even in the best of times, they seem very difficult to circumvent or ignore. Too many people are just taken in by them. Just think of what's happening now in the political arena, where have been these groups of people who thought that Hillary is the lesser of two evils between her and Trump, because Trump was caught referring to part of the female anatomy in a derogatory way. And now that the election's behind us, people continue the attacks and the boycotts and the rhetoric. And it just gets ridiculous after a while. People verbally attack one another over this, trying to prove that one candidate is by far the worst candidate possible for the Oval Office. And these same people forget all of the sexual peccadilloes, I guess, of one of the other individuals who isn't running for office, but would nevertheless have access to that if his wife ran and successfully was elected. But all that aside, this is the way people are when it comes to politics. It seems like wisdom is taking a back seat. The lower the scales are with respect to the two candidates available, that's just what happens. Now, in our estimation, maybe neither Trump or Hillary are best suited to the Oval Office, but it's moot right now, isn't it? Because one has won. One has come out on top. And because of that, we need to move ahead. We need to continue to understand that the individual who won got there because God allowed it, and God's plans persevere. But truth is very difficult to come by in general in today's society. It's really up for grabs. And most adopt some perceived truth that really isn't truth at all. Psalm 2 speaks to this problem that unfolds the closer we get to the physical return of our Lord and Savior. But in spite of this, God speaks a warning that these rulers and judges should be wise. Clearly, God would not warn them to do this if actual truth was impossible to ascertain. In their heart of hearts, truth, absolute truth, is there. Paul tells us it's there in Romans 1. But the kings and judges, along with each and every individual, must be willing to look for it and acknowledge it when they find it. And that's something that doesn't happen much today. Verse 11 of Psalm 2 provides the opposing position to verses 1 through 3. Instead of doing everything in their power to throw off God's sovereignty and impossibility, these rulers and judges should serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, in order to do that, humility is required, and that will only come to those who seek absolute truth. Truth is what engenders humility within a person if it does not harden their hearts. A person who willingly serves the Lord will also submit to Him for their will for His. This is the reality that will be life on this planet when Jesus returns and is installed on Zion, God's holy hill. From that place, Jesus will reign perfectly. But unfortunately, He's still going to use a rod of iron because pride will still tend to swell the human breast. Verse 12 speaks to the way of life that during the millennial kingdom will be ours, and it ends with the generalized statement for all who trust Him throughout all of human history. It says this, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Now, during the millennial kingdom, there will be still problems and issues that need to be settled. It's implied in the text. We've touched on that in previous parts in this series. Not all will be perfect because the sin nature will still exist in people who lived through and survived the coming great tribulation, and people who are born as well, even during the millennial kingdom, they'll still have a sin nature. Every human being born into this world is born with a sin nature that predisposes all of us to rebel against God. The very fact that we are born with it pits us against God, and we are literally enemies to Him. He has done everything He can to offer a way for us to reconcile with God. He does not need to reconcile to us, by the way. Salvation is received by those who place their trust in him. You know, it's going to be the same way for those born during the millennial kingdom. Think about it. They will need to become Christians. They will need to come to terms with their own sin nature and the fact that it has made them enemies with God. But even those who have salvation but have not died will still do and say things that are offensive to God. Even then, some will become obstinate. But a humble person is a person who sees their mistakes and quickly confesses, once again confirming their allegiance to the Lord who paid it all. Verse 12. Once they do this, they will not perish along the way. Of course, this also includes people who are alive during the millennial kingdom who do not receive salvation and do things that are sinful and do not confess and repent of those things. Think about that. There certainly may be times when Jesus will have to deal with it, and what will appear to be a rather harsh way in order to maintain peace. Korah's rebellion, spoken of in Numbers 16, is a perfect case in point. Those individuals essentially rebelled against God's man Moses. God, without any doubt, told the Israelites whom he was behind, and it was not Korah or those who sided with Korah, and their punishment came swiftly and permanently. Read about it. Numbers 16. And this is, I believe, likely going to be the same way Jesus had to deal with some individuals during the coming millennial kingdom. It's the way he's going to have to do it. In fact, at the very end of that coming 1,000-year period, there will be a revolt led by Satan, a tremendous rebellion against God in Christ. And it is extremely short-lived, with, the text tells us, fire coming down from heaven to devour Satan and those who follow him. It's amazing. Psalm 2 is a dire warning for all who believe they can overthrow God and come out from under his sovereignty. While they're free to do things like reject him, his plan of redemption, and live their own lives the way they want to live them, this does not in any way, shape, or form take away from God or his sovereignty. As a matter of fact, they aren't still out from under God's sovereignty. They are rebelling while under his sovereignty. It doesn't take away from that at all. It simply puts those individuals at odds with God, and whether he deals with them now or later, he will deal with them and their rebelliousness. Moreover, we also need to keep in mind that God promises that every single individual will bow at the name of Jesus. Romans 14:11 says this, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue confess to God." You know, you see the word every in the middle of that declaration. Let me read it again. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." That word every literally means every person or created being, from Satan to every human being to Michael the archangel. Michael does it willingly, all the time. The only difference is that most will be forced to bend the knee and admit that God is fully sovereign. Only some, authentic Christians and the elect angels of God, will be the ones who do so willingly. So one day, Satan himself will kneel, bow, and confess that God is supreme over all his, God's creation. They will actually praise him. Whether they want to or not, God will have his way. Certainly the best thing that everyone can do is turn to him in humility, receive his salvation, and live willingly under his lordship. It's way too late for Satan and his angels. But as long as people have breath, it is not too late for them. For human beings alive today, salvation can be received now, while it is still today. Hebrews 3:13. That's our episode, our show for today, and I thank you so much for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes and show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.